Thanks, Joanna. Is this your head?
Yeah.
Well, Joanna, thanks for setting this up, and thank you for coming this morning. It's good to be here, and I'm going to talk a little bit about what the city does in terms of land use planning and how we look at health-related issues, food-related issues, and how we incorporate them into our local land use plans. I just want to say it's really nice to be here. It's great to be on a panel with Harry and Emmanuel. I think we do this quite frequently, but it's good to be, you know, doing these types of things and letting people know what's going on. And both Sweetwater Foundation and Growing Home have been really strong partners in what we're doing in Inglewood and Washington Park. So it's really great to have them on board and kind of do this sort of stuff. So I'm generally going to talk about the urban ag and health-related issues and how we get them into land use planning projects. I'll do a very general overview of some of the policies and plans that we're working on, and then talk about a couple of specific projects, specifically two urban ag districts that we're setting up in the Englewood and Washington Park neighborhoods in Chicago, and both of which relate directly to what Growing Home and Sweetwater are doing. Sure. Is that better? Okay. So one of the first and most important things I think that happened here in terms of urban ag policy was in 2011, we amended the zoning ordinance to allow for or more clearly define urban agriculture uses here. Mayor Emanuel, when he came in, this was one of the first policy actions that they had coming out of his administration. It's pretty critical for us because it defined urban ag uses. They were previously in the zoning code, but they had been stripped out because of changing development patterns. So we had to reincorporate the language, and it actually worked out better because we were able to define them a little bit, you know, more specifically. Unfortunately, that comes with a few regulations, but we were able to get them in, make them as of right in particular districts. And it really enabled the city to do some of the projects that we've been working on so that we could devote resources to developing some of these things. The map on the right-hand side of the slide is just an illustration of the zoning districts that do allow urban farms. So you can do these types of things pretty much across the city. We restrict it in certain places like residential neighborhoods that have heavy restrictions on commercial uses, but in residential you can do other things like community gardens and sort of non-commercial farming activities. But this was a pretty key step that the city took to kind of get these projects up and running. Most of the other stuff that we do, at least related to health and local land use plans, falls under sort of an umbrella plan that we produced a few years ago. It's called the Recipe for Healthy Places Plan, and it was approved by the Chicago Plan Commission in 2013. And this is actually pretty key because it incorporated these strategies and what's in the document, and it made it official city policy so that we can, you know, basically move forward with enacting it. It was funded through a grant from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and it really focused on more or less combating obesity with policy changes and incorporating health into different policies. We had a lot of partners that helped us with this. It was sort of one of our biggest first chances that we had to work intimately with our health department and other public health professionals, so it was a very good thing in terms of our planning efforts. We partnered with our public health department, our Department of Family Support Services, which runs our safety net programs. They administer a lot of those. And an organization called CLOCK, which is the Consortium to Lower Obesity in Chicago Children. So it put together a good group of agencies to kind of work on this. But then we also had a lot of nonprofit partners that actually participated in the development, both farmers, community gardeners. I know Harry and Emmanuel, I think you both were involved in this. And, we also had a lot of other people from different backgrounds, public health agencies, those types of things. So it was really, really good. And it really kind of forced us, or at least put us all into the same room to talk about different ideas, things that we really hadn't considered. And one of them was this. This was kind of a big moment for the folks that were planning and doing that sort of thing. It was the incorporation of the health impact pyramid. Really, we organized our strategies around this sort of thing, and we wanted to, you know, recognize that the actions that we have that address larger populations will have a bigger impact on things like obesity and other health issues than the things that we do at sort of the one-on-one level. Now, we recognize the importance of both, but most of these strategies that I'm going to talk about and some of the things really focus on the second from the bottom, which is changing the context of our neighborhoods to help people make healthier choices. And that really gets into the strategy. So we developed six strategies to look at individual neighborhoods. There's one of our partners just walked in. I'm going to focus mainly on the first two, and that's building healthier neighborhoods. And really, it's a recommendation or a strategy with a bunch of recommendations to help us target our planning and programmatic activities in neighborhoods that have an elevated risk of obesity-related diseases, as we defined it in the plan. And then also the second strategy, which is growing more food in Chicago. The rest of them, you know, they all are very important to the plan. I'm just going to focus on the first two for today's efforts. You can get a copy of the plan by going to our website. You really can't see it up there on the screen, but if you just Google a recipe for healthy places plan in Chicago, that's one of the first things that will come up, so you can download the entire plan. So the first thing we needed to do was identify parts of the city that we wanted to focus on. There were several recommendations under the first strategy. One of the things that the Department of Planning and Development and Department of Public Health were going to commit to was collecting and analyzing obesity-related data. At the time, we settled on this methodology to identify communities that we wanted to focus on. We used three different data sets. One was grocery access or lack thereof. We did a study to look at where grocery stores were in Chicago, and we kind of mapped it and determined what areas of the city weren't served by a grocery store. We also used Feeding America's data on food insecurity. We thought that was very important to incorporate that data set. And then we didn't really have good obesity data aggregated at the level we needed, so we used diabetes rates as a proxy. So we basically just overlaid these three data sets and came up with a priority set of community areas. Basically, they had the presence of two or three of these individual criteria. And we came up with those neighborhoods on the right-hand side, which are highlighted in green and yellow-green. And we decided as a group to, you know, move forward with focusing our planning efforts in some of these areas, as well as programmatic efforts. But I'm going to talk mostly about the planning stuff. We kicked off a planning initiative on the near south side, which includes Inglewood, pretty much greater Inglewood, Washington Park, and Woodlawn. It's called the Green Healthy Neighborhoods Plan. It was a partnership between the Regional Planning Agency, Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, the City of Chicago, as well as numerous community-based organizations. It was funded through a grant from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and it really looked at integrating and focusing on sustainable communities and building sustainable communities around the country. I'm going to talk a little more in depth about this in just a minute, but it really relates directly to what Harry and Emmanuel are doing over in Inglewood and Washington Park. So looking at the second recommendation, which was growing more food in Chicago, we really wanted to ramp up our efforts on how we help, how we can assist farmers, farming organizations to actually grow more food in Chicago. And we really wanted to focus on creating sort of public systems of open space where we can engage in sort of larger scale food growing, job training, and education. And this is really a pivotal piece in what we're going to be talking about today, because we want to see these types of organizations sprout up in the communities that we want to focus on, and we want to incorporate that into our plans. We've done a lot of these partnerships across the city. We work with groups like Growing Home, Sweetwater Foundation, Chicago Botanic Gardens, Windy City Harvest, Heartland Human Care Services. We worked on a farm with them, as well as a group called Neighborspace. We use a nonprofit land trust to try and help us with some of the ownership issues. But a lot of these, it turns out, are actually in the communities we wanted to focus on, and we want to see more of these things happening. So we're going to try and assist this in as much as we can. Yes.
Where are we on that map?
Where we're standing, like where we're here. We're over by the lake, sort of dead center.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a way. Oh, yeah. Sort of like right here.
Okay.
Yeah. So most of the communities that we're focusing on are on the west and the south sides, which historically have been, you know, areas that have been losing population. And I'm going to get into that in just 1 second. Speaking of, the Green Healthy Neighborhoods Plan is a plan that I was just mentioning. It focuses on Inglewood and Washington Park and Woodlawn, and that's in this general vicinity here. It's a part of the city that's been losing population since the 1940s. About 60% of the population has moved away from that particular spot since 1940. As a result, there's a lot of issues that the community has to deal with now. There's, more specifically, there's a lot of vacant lands, a lot of vacant buildings, things that are just, you know, sitting there and maybe potentially causing problems. There's a lot of other issues that go along with that. Increased unemployment rates, there's public safety concerns, high crime rates, those types of things. So there's a lot of challenges there, but sort of if you flip that around, there is a lot of opportunity in the vacant land. And one of the things that the Green Healthy Neighborhoods Plan focuses on is really how do we reactivate that land and reuse it and make the community stronger and healthier. We came up with 7 strategies to do that. They focus on sort of more traditional things as well as sort of things that most people don't think of when they're talking about development. I'm going to focus on the last two, really looking at how do we create more opportunities for people for recreation, so places that are safe and accessible. There's a lot of parks and things in this area, but we want to kind of figure out how do we connect those things, and also how do we create more spaces out of the vacant land. In addition, we want to create what we're calling productive landscapes, or those places where, you know, that fit into this larger system of public open spaces where larger scale food production and education and job training can happen. And coincidentally, both of the farms that, you know, you're going to hear from these guys about are actually sort of overlapping in these two recommendations. I'll get into that right now. So looking in Inglewood, we are focusing our attention on one of the urban ag districts in the plan that was identified by the community. There is an abandoned rail line which runs about 2 miles going from east to west. It's elevated and it basically is just an abandoned structure in the middle of the community. It's really amazing when you get up there, it looks like a completely different place. You don't feel like you're in Chicago, you feel like you're sort of out in the woods somewhere. But it is in running through Inglewood. And we're looking at developing a trail facility on that, some sort of recreational facility. That was one of the recommendations in the plan. We're also looking at developing an urban ag district around that particular piece of infrastructure. And we wanted to capitalize on some of the things that are going on at Growing Home. And Harry's going to talk a lot more in detail about that stuff. But, you know, this fits into the plan nicely, and we're actually trying to combine the two things. And we're actually doing a health impact assessment on the trail and implementing the urban agriculture district here. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that later on today, so if you're around, you can check that out as well. But it's a really interesting place in the city, and it actually presents a lot of challenges, and maybe that'll come up in the next few presentations. But we're facing like an evolving landscape, and I think I can do it in 5 minutes. It's a place that maybe has a lot of isolation issues. There's a lot of vacant land here, and not a lot of people actually live over here. But you do have some good things going on. You've got Wood Street and Honoré Street Farm here that sort of straddle the abandoned rail line, which runs down the center. And we're looking at doing some work on how to cluster urban farms around these existing places. We've done some identification of vacant properties, the stuff that the city owns. We've done some environmental investigation and found places where the environmental contamination is not that terrible, and we can deal with them, that sort of thing, in a very cost-effective way, and we're trying to get more people over here to do that, or at least start to work with people that do live around here and figure out how we can get them access to property. There's actually a couple of organizations that are working on that in the Inglewood area, including Growing Home and Grow Greater Inglewood, and Neighbor Space is working on that. There was a project funded by the Chicago Community Trust and Kinship Foundation to really look at how do you attract farmers over here and how do you work with people that live over here to get them access to property and get them interested in growing food and the like. In addition to isolation, we're also facing challenges about environmental contamination. There's a point on the line, these big red blobs are land that we actually tested, and there's high levels of contamination, and these are things that we have to address before we can do any kind of redevelopment, whether it's farming, whether it's something else. We really have to look at what's in the land before we can move forward. Here you have Bontemps Elementary, which is a school that recently closed, and we're looking at redeveloping that, but you've got these big parcels that are highly contaminated. There was metal-oriented manufacturing going on there that really is a challenge for us to deal with. Moving on to sort of Washington Park community area, the recommendations in Green Healthy Neighborhoods were very similar, in so much as we're proposing a recreational facility over there, as well as clusters of vacant land to be turned into urban ag as well. Here you can see some renderings of what the farm and the park could look like. You've got the Perry Avenue Farm, which is up and running, but I noticed in our renderings we don't have the Think Dew House in there, which is a project that Manuel's been working on. But the same sort of thing applies here, except this is actually going to be not a linear park, it's going to be a 7-acre park that we're looking at creating. But then there's also sort of the interim use that we have in there as a farm, and we're hoping that that farm will become part of the mix of services that the park can provide, so that we can provide some stability and, you know, get what the neighborhood wants to keep in that park. So I know Manuel's going to probably talk a little more about that. But we also have some challenges here. This is a very evolving neighborhood. The city owns all these parcels that are highlighted in blue, and this green outline here is the boundaries of the proposed park. So we're slowly acquiring the private land within that. You've got the Perry Avenue Farm, which was already constructed here, and the city, working with Open Lands, has acquired a house that was built sometime in the 90s, I think. And we're actually renting it to Emmanuel's group to kind of keep, to keep the momentum going with the farm. And they've done a wonderful job with developing a community garden here in the space between the house and the farm. We're looking at some other parts of the park that could be used for farming. There's been a whole host of activities that have been going on over there, and we're trying to kind of solidify what can be done with this parcel. But the neighborhood itself is also changing. This Washington Park is one of the proposed sites for the Obama Library. That site is pretty close to here, so there could be a lot of pressure if the library does site over there. In terms of land use, there might be a lot of redevelopment there. So we really need to be cognizant of those things and try and, you know, figure out what we want to do with the land before the pressures become so much that we can't deal with it. So we want to focus on, you know, how do we prevent gentrification and some of the things that we're looking at over there. So that's pretty much just an overview of what we're doing. I'm happy to get into more specifics in the question and answer period, but I will turn it back over to Joanna, and you'll hear from Harry and Emmanuel. Thanks.